answering some questions today, Sunday morning. Nimai Pandit has a lengthy question, the summary of which is about as follows. There are two basic types of faith given only by Vishwa Chakravarti Thakur. The first he gives is Swabhaviki, his natural faith, and the second is Balotpadiki, which he describes as inspired by external force. Can you please expand on the nature and difference between these two types of Shraddha, and particularly the meaning and development of Balotpadiki Shraddha? In Shri Bhakti Chintamani, I recently commented on this, and because, as Nimai Pandit points out, there's a little reference to the word, actually there's no reference to this word in Srila Prabhupada's books, I take it to mean that it is Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's terminology for a specific type of analysis of faith that he has adopted. The general type of understanding of faith described elsewhere is generally of one kind, which is the evolution of faith as it transpires through the purification of heart by first non-devotees, then mixed devotees, and ultimately pure devotees. This purification of heart takes place through engaging in unknown pious activities, agyata sukriti, chanting Hare Krishna or performing devotional activities with some kind of motivation, chanting Hare Krishna ultimately for the pleasure of the Lord, as well as performing other activities like hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, worshipping the deity, and of course doing all of this in the association of devotees. This is the development of Shraddha, which goes through different stages up until the platform of perfection, prema. There's a constant development of faith. It is not just a initial thing which is acquired, but rather it has a qualitative development. And Srila Prabhupada points out that even materialistic people possess faith, although their faith is dependent on the kind of knowledge which they have acquired and the goals which they set for themselves in life. In any case, my understanding is that Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has made a distinction between two ways in which faith is acquired. One is when it goes through the evolution that comes as a result of an individual's purification and efforts in advancement in spiritual life. However, the second type of faith, Balotpadaki, or the second division, is that which is inspired by external force. And by external force, I take this to mean the intercession of other Vaishnavas sitting and inspiring with strong words a person to change his way of life, to change his attitude to God, to take up the process of Krishna consciousness. I think we do this quite a lot ourselves. For instance, when we convince someone to join Krishna consciousness, that person, by the strong preaching and strong association of others, is sort of catapulted forward in devotional service and enters into the path of pure devotion faster than he would have by natural progression, the natural progression that he's been going through for who knows how long. Although certainly everyone acquires casual association, in other words, association which is based on hearing, but when the association is directly pointed at increasing that person's faith for the purpose of rendering service for the purpose of surrendering that is inspired by an external force. So this is the strong preaching of others that Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is talking about. And this happens also on a day-to-day basis. We associate with devotees and preach to them for the purpose of helping them overcome the distractions of the material and energy. We inspire them to go out on book distribution, as well as overcoming many other obstacles in spiritual life, which can overcome by acquiring transcendental knowledge and thus increasing one's level of faith, determination, and commitment. In short, my understanding is that Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has made this distinction in what is generally called faith. One is the naturally evolving faith, and the other one is that which comes as a result of the mercy of pure devotees, advanced devotees, who try to increase our faith by their very strong preaching and association. For by associating with the faithful, our faith naturally also increases. Another question of faith is by Jagannath Sutta, who says, I see so many devotees, myself included, seemingly just doing out of some sort of act, this should be done mentality. Not quite clear. But there does not seem to be any real understanding of why we are doing, having these activities or thoughts. How do we cultivate faith? Is it always there, or do we need to blindly just believe until it manifests? Faith is always there, so even if someone has the mentality that this should be done, they're doing something because they have faith in someone who says that this should be done, whether it's Shastra, whether it's the spiritual master or Vaishnavas, someone is telling us that we should do something, and we do that because we have faith in that person. However, we may not always have knowledge as to why things should be done, and when Krishna is speaking to his father at the time of the Ankut ceremony, he points out that one type of result is performed by doing an activity in knowledge, and another one is by doing one without knowledge. Srila Prabhupada has given us so many books so that we'll understand the reason behind the activities, and devotees should submissively inquire why we have the certain cultural trappings that we do, why we perform devotional activities the way we do, what is the reasoning behind activities of sadhachar or etiquette. These are all important for two reasons, because by knowing these things, things which all have transcendental origins, our faith becomes very strong. And thus we can do things not only simply because they should be done, but we do things because they know it also pleases Krishna. And furthermore, because when people ask us, why do you do such a thing, then we have a proper answer to give them, in the absence of which Krishna consciousness isn't properly affected as a transcendental science. This morning I rose early and I was reading Chaitanya Charitamrita, and I'm on Adilila chapter 4. There's one wonderful verse there which is from Lalita Madhava. It comes somewhere towards the end of the book when Lord Krishna is wandering in New Vrindavan and passes a pillar and sees his reflection in the pillar, and he becomes overwhelmed and attracted by that vision of his own beauty, his form, his charm. But he not only becomes overwhelmed, but his mood becomes like that of a gopi. And when I read this verse in the past, I used to always think that this is also a foretelling of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance, as well as an indication of the inner sentiments of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as well as his identity, Krishna, hankering to enjoy his own sweetness and beauty in the way that the gopis do. Anyway, I'll read that verse for you now. It says, Aparikalita purva kaschamat kara kari spurati mamagariyan ishamadhuriya pura ayamaha api hanta prikshayam lubda cheta sharabashmupavuktum kami radikeva. Who manifests an abundance of sweetness greater than mine, which has never been experienced before, and which causes wonder to all? Alas, I myself, my mind bewildered upon seeing this beauty, impetuously desire to enjoy it, like Srimati Radharani. This is a wonderful meditation for today, how Krishna is all-attractive, and when you use the word all, well, he attracts everyone. He's even attracting himself. Unfortunately, those who are conditioned souls find Krishna's material energy attractive, and they become distracted by the inferior attractiveness of matter because they're not focusing themselves on Krishna. So our whole idea in Krishna consciousness is to remove this illusion from our hearts that matter is more attractive than spirit, that the material world is more attractive than its creator, and to just get used to focusing our minds on Krishna. When we learn how to fix our minds on Krishna, then we will find that Krishna is so attractive, we'll forget everything of this material world. The real problem is that we just can't fix our minds on Krishna long enough. Therefore, we need to purify our hearts so that our minds become purified and we can steady ourselves on meditations of the Lord. And what's the best way of doing that? Well, you know the answer as well as I do, chanting Hare Krishna.